The following program is created for informational purposes only and does not constitute as medical advice. The views and opinions expressed on this program are those of the host. If you think you may have a medical emergency, consult your doctor.
This is where the healing begins.
This is Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne of Greenwood Family Chiropractic, where it's not only about neck and back pain, but a place for whole body wellness. Listen this hour as Dr. Leanne is here to share her wellness education to help you live a maximized life. For more information, visit GreenwoodFamilyChiropractic.com. Here's Dr. Leanne.
Good morning. Thanks for joining. You're listening to Maximize Your Life. I'm Dr. Leanne Schluter, Greenwood Family Chiropractic, 317-893-2853, 317-893-2853, greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com to schedule your initial exam and consultation. Today, we are talking about the worst of food additives. Thinking about just all the changes that they are attempting to make in terms of food, which I very much appreciate. You know, one of the things we talk about when we talk about Greenwood Family Chiropractic is, you know, one of the biggest blessings I feel like someone would say when they come into the office is they look around and they say, well, this is different. And you're like, yep, sure is. You know, and sometimes that's really exciting for people because they realize just even the chiropractic aspect is very different versus, you know, when you come in and our office is very upbeat and, you know, you'll often hear families in there and you will hear some really great Christian music and, you know, like people are laughing and they're having fun and it's just, you know, it's just generally like a really, really great place. But we also look very much deeper into the whole body wellness. And so when we talk about that, that includes obviously nervous system because we're chiropractors. That includes nutrition, detoxification, oxygen and lean muscle, which is more of that exercise activity standpoint. It looks at mindset. And when, you know, I've always said from the day that I've gotten started, I never wanted to be a glorified Advil when it came to my practice. Right, where people come in and they say, oh, my back hurts. Pop me and I'm going to come back when my back hurts. And you're like, listen, if that's all you're seeing me for, like just some minor amount of transient pain relief, then, you know, an Advil would probably work faster and cheaper, you know? And so I think that's where I had realized in chiropractic school, where I had found my stride and really have found my passion in what I do, is that I want to inevitably help people get well. And sometimes that's with helping get to the root cause of their headaches, neck pain, or back pain. That might be helping them learn to eat better or exercise, even with joint replacements, or how to change their mindset or set goals or help reach and obtain goals. You know, recently we did a nutrition talk and it was great. We had over 50 people in the office and we just literally broke down some actionable steps on how to get started to start making these changes. And so I think with knowledge comes power, with power comes action, right? We have the ability to make those changes. And so that's what we do at Greenwood Family Chiropractic. So when someone says, hey, I feel better than I have in my entire life, you're like, good, that's the way you were meant to feel, right? But our inevitable goal is to figure out how to be alongside of you on how to help either restore your health or maintain the health that you've already been given. And so I think that's just what makes us so different. People always say, what makes you different at Greenwood Family Chiropractic? And my answer is we get to the root cause of the problems and we look at a body as a whole, not the sum of its parts. And it really does make a change when we talk about inevitably getting people well. So we are going to talk a bit more about some dangerous food additives, but before that, let's talk about some news.
Dr. Leanne's Health News.
Some studies suggest that too much sugar can literally mess with the brain.
Health News now, one of the world's most commonly prescribed medications.
Today, the average American consumes 22 teaspoons of sugar a day.
Protesters say they just should not be forced to get this shot, not by the government.
For today's Health in the News, talking about RFK Jr. wants to eliminate FDA's controversial food additive program. Here's why that matters. So you likely know, but if you don't, Robert F. Kennedy, who is the U.S. Health and Human Services Secretary, has begun the process of eliminating a U.S. Food and Drug Administration program called GRAS, G-R-A-S, all capitalized, or also known as Generally Recognized as Safe, that critics say have been abused by food industries for decades. Nearly 99% of new chemicals used in food or food packaging since 2000 were greenlit for use not by the FDA, but by the food and chemical industry, according to a 2022 analysis. During that period, food manufacturers asked the FDA's permission to introduce a new substance only 10 times, according to the analysis conducted by the Environmental Working Group, also known as EWG, which EWG is an environmental and health advocacy organization based in Washington. They said, for far too long, ingredient manufacturers and sponsors have exploited a loophole that has allowed new ingredients and chemicals, often with unknown safety data, to be introduced into the U.S. food supply without notification to the FDA or to the public, Kennedy said in a statement this past week. So eliminating this loophole will provide transparencies to consumers, he said, and quote, help get our nation's food supply back on track by ensuring that ingredients being introduced into foods are safe. Though that being said, there are many challenges ahead. So expert applauds the move, calling it long overdue, but question how realistic any change will be. So Paulette Goddard, who is professor of Emerita of Nutrition, said, I am all for dealing with the GRAS loophole. Again, generally regarded as safe. It's way past time for the FDA to close it. Food companies should not decide for themselves whether their additives are safe, said Nessel. That's the Marion Nessel. She's the Paulette Goddard professor. Marion Nessel is her name. So, food companies should not decide for themselves whether food additives are safe. She's actually written quite a few books about the politics of the food industry. She said, however, it's hard for me to believe that the administration will give the FDA the resources it needs. And this means well-paid experts in food toxicology to take on additive assessments, especially when agency personnel are being fired left and right. So former FDA Commissioner Robert Califf, Dr. Adam Califf, who resigned from his position January 20th, added that any reform would have to make it past the powerful food industry lobby, which has traditionally fought change. Interesting, I was kind of looking at how much they spend for food lobbying, and I think in 2020 it looked to be upwards of $56 million, which is crazy, like $1 million a week. Plus, Dr. Califf said, if it were to happen, it would be a real reversal of years of lobbying and politicians who mostly were blocked the effort to make this happen. The industry has resisted it. The Republican Congress has blocked it. Now, if they're in favor, let's take advantage of it and get it done. I'd be all for it. So this past week, Kennedy announced that he had met with the chief executive officer, the CEO of Kraft, Heinz, General Mills, Tyson's Food, Kellogg's, Smucker's, and Pepsi to discuss a solution. Which honestly, like those big names, we just think of like Kraft macaroni and cheese or Heinz's ketchup. General Mills is maybe cereal. But those alone, those alone see just an exponential amount of products. Kennedy stated to in an interview this past week, you should be able to exercise informed choice. You should know what that product is, what's in your food, and what the health impacts are. And that's all we're going to do. He said, we're going to incentivize people, to incentivize companies to be transparent, and we're going to inform Americans about what's making them sick. Nobody wants to be sick. So what the problem is, this is so interesting. You know, we consume food every single day. And generally with this, we would have no idea that the FDA really didn't approve any of this. The food companies are using loopholes that said, oh, there's actually no testing. It's just generally regarded as safe. And the FDA is like, that's cool. And you're like, in 99% of the food additives and chemicals go through that process. So created by a 1958 amendment to a 1938 Food, Drug, and Cosmetic Act, GRAS, generally regarded as safe, was intended to be narrowly applied to safe, commonly used ingredients such as garlic, oil, vinegar, baking soda. In 1997, however, an overwhelmed and underfunded FDA made the program voluntary, allowing industries to say a substance was generally regarded as safe without first providing safety data to the agencies. So since then, food manufacturers have introduced numerous untested additives into the food supply, which many have later been identified as harmful. So one of the best example was brominated vegetable oil, BVO, which is a vegetable oil used in citrus sodas and sports drinks. Also brominated vegetable oil. They were used in Gatorade for a while. They also were used in Glucola. So pregnant moms will know this. It is the glucose sugar drink they force you to drink, or try to force you to drink, for your glucose tolerance test. Brominated vegetable oil was in there. It was declared no longer regarded as safe in 1970, but the FDA did not officially ban the additive from use from the food supply until July of 2024. So everyone's like, why'd you fight the pregnancy glucola so much? I said, I'm not drinking that brominated vegetable oil. And again, here's why. The FDA knew for decades that brominated vegetable oil would be harmful, but was allowed to remain in use at the request of food manufacturers. So that's one where in 2023, October of 2023, California, who was sick of waiting on the FDA, was like, listen, we're done with it. We're banning brominated vegetable oil, potassium bromate, propyl parabens, and red dye number 3, because it was linked to serious health concerns, cancer, endocrine, which is like hormonal and reproductive issues, heart and liver problems. So when you tell me to drink this, but I have this little baby that I'm not doing anything, like I'm taking care of my body and making sure I'm mindful of what I put in it, and they're like, you have to drink this. I'm like, absolutely no, I don't. So the FDA banned Red number 3 January of 2025, more than 30 years after scientists discovered link to cancer in animals. So a synthetic color additive made from petroleum and chemically known as red dye number 3 was used to give foods, candies, beverages light cherry red color. Additionally, chemicals being targeted by legislation bills in 31 states include red dye number 40, blue dye number 1, and 2, red dye or green dye number 3, yellow dye number 5 and 6, titanium dioxide, all of them. So, but they said obviously there's just a lot of hurdles to overcome because it's not as simple as just removing the regulations. There are many secret, generally regarded as safe, chemicals that are already in our food supply. So making these chemicals immediately illegal until obtaining FDA approval may cause disruption in our food supply. So ensuring that existing GRAS chemicals are safe to remain in our food should be a systematic product. So they should grandfather in ingredients that were generally regarded as safe in 1958 when Congress created the Food Amendment, like garlic, salt, pepper, that we've eaten for decades without harm. So they just go on to say there are a lot of issues of causing cancer and the increase in cancer risks over the last 20 years. Large-scale epidemiology. A lot of people have been sick, increasing in human diseases, but obviously they might have to beef up the FDAs to make sure they're safe, which honestly I just think is absolutely crazy, right? They know that these chemicals, large amounts of chemicals, are just being saying, well, it's generally regarded as safe. You say, who says? And they're like, oh, we say. We tested it. The company that's saying that it's safe, we're the one who tested it. And we're just going to keep spending millions of dollars in lobbying and being in and having, you know, these people who are oftentimes like CEOs of Kellogg's are also on the FDA board. And you're just like, definitely not conflict of interest there, right? Which if you couldn't sense it, that was very much sarcasm. You know, so it's, but we're putting these in our body. And again, I think one of the greatest things that he said there is we should allow people to be transparent so they can make informed choice. Why are we not allowing informed choice? You know, back during the Obama administration, I'll never forget, is that they went up to legislation. It was, I think it was like Proposition 37, maybe. I could be wrong about the number. I hadn't looked it up, but those are ones where it went up that we should know what food that we're eating is genetically modified, and they voted it down. They said, you don't deserve to know that. And this is where it just blows my mind, because you I have patients who go to other countries and they say, hey, when I'm home, I'm going to eat awful. Or they go to travel and, you know, you've got these people who are like strict gluten-free will go to other countries, have pasta, eat however they like, and they feel better than when they eat good here. You know, and you wonder why about the food supply and all the things. And you're like, how different it is in these last 25 years that all of a sudden in 1997, they're saying, hey, figuring out if it's generally regarded as safe, like that's no big deal. It's just voluntary. You know, these people are out for profits, not for people. And unfortunately, that's what it's turning over. It's making people sick and it's turning a mass amount of profit, unfortunately. So when we get back, I want to break down more of these dangerous food additives that you might not even know are hiding in your food next.
You're listening to Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne. We're online with life-changing results and success stories at greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. You're listening to Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne. Hear full shows on the podcast link at freedom95.us. Here's Dr. Leanne. I'm about to have a good day, no matter what they say. Sun is shining down on me. Birds are singing praise. I'm about to have a good day in every single way. God made the universe, knows me by my name, so it's a good day.
Welcome back. You're listening to Maximize Your Life. I'm Dr. Leanne Schluter, Greenwood Family Chiropractic. 317-893-2853. 317-893-2853. GreenwoodFamilyChiropractic.com to schedule your initial exam and consultation. Today, we are talking about what it means to have food that is, quote, generally regarded as safe. And then what some of those foods are. You know, it was so, you know, as the average consumer, I just think it's an area that the average person is not going to think about, isn't going to look into. It's, you know, but there's so much, and I can't speak to a lot of the politics. What I do know is that there is a lot of lobbying and industry-funded research that happens. Let me give you what a prime example of this might be. So back in 2016, there was a journal article that revealed the U.S. sugar industry funded research. And that research downplayed the relationship between sugar and coronary heart disease. in the 1960s and 1970s. The funded literature review examined multiple causes of coronary heart disease and concluded the best way to address the disease is to cut out fat in the American diet. I also remember, gosh, it was probably the first year or two when I was doing this, so probably 10 years ago, when I first started doing the radio show, this podcast radio show. And I remember reading a research article that was published, and it was by Pepsi or Cola. It was like a big soda. And it was that sugar from soda was not the main cause of obesity in overweight pediatric and adolescents, that the main cause of the problem was with snacks and fruit juice. And so you read it, and like, it, just as a general consumer, you would think, like, I can tell you that there's something wrong with this study. And it was a University of North Carolina. I can't remember, like I said, it's been over a decade ago. But they had like named, because of this funding, they were able to open up a gym on campus and all the things. And they named it, you know, like PepsiCo Center or whatever. And probably about 4 years later, they had retracted all of the research and they changed the name of this gym, whoever had funded it, whatever big pharma, like our big company, food company. And you're just like, oh, I wonder what happened. And you're like, oh, someone did just enough digging to be like, this isn't right. And they're like, silently retract it and change names. And you're like, so of course it didn't meet like national news like the first one did. But I just think it's always so interesting that they're trying to like figure out how to lobby against this, you know. And it's and it truly is just a ton of money. It's so interesting when you're like, you're putting how much into this? And you're like, yeah, just the ultra, you know, and Americans love ultra processed food. That's literally the main diet of the standard American. And so, you know, they're all riding, all these big companies are riding on this loophole that was the generally regarded as safe for food, which was intended for common food ingredients, you know, so like garlic, salt, pepper. And you're like, yep, generally regarded as safe. Like, you don't have to do any research on those. No big deal. But people aren't actually doing that anymore. And so it's a great concern that you've got things like dyes. And so one of the things I really want to talk about is this, you know, generally regarded as safe is caramel coloring. I feel like I haven't really talked about caramel coloring a lot. I think caramel is very natural, right? Like if I was to say, hey, how do you make caramel? You would say, you know, you'd cook down sugar and to a certain temperature and pull it off and, you know, that process. And that's how caramel is made. Caramel or caramel. I'm sure there's going to be somebody that wants to have an opinion on that, but, and it might be different. But when you look at a lot of this, now I will never forget when Zevia, so Zevia is a stevia sweetened soda. It's one that they have like kids Zevia. They're now all clear. But when they first came out, a lot of their like their version of Coca-Cola, their version of Diet Coke, their version of Dr. Pepper had caramel coloring in it. And you're like, but wait, you're kind of missing the mark, being that the demographic of people who are going to drink this are more health conscious and health oriented. And those are also the people who don't want to drink caramel coloring, basically because it's a carcinogenic, because of the carcinogenic byproduct, right? And so caramel coloring is a common ingredient in colas and other dark soft drinks. I'll share with you some of the other aspects too. So, what happens is through the processing to get to this caramel coloring, it produces 4-methylimidazole. So they shorten up as 4-MEI, which is a possible human carcinogen that's formed during the manufacturing of these caramel coloring. So here's a crazy statistic. They looked at people who drink soda, like specifically ones that would be caramel coloring based. Results show that between 44 and 58% of people over the age of 6 typically have at least one can of soda per day. I think I saw it on average, the average American drinks 55 gallons of soda a year, which is absolutely crazy and very wild to me. You know, so they know that dark colored caramel coloring causes cancer, right? Like Johns Hopkins research calculated the cancer burden, estimated that the number of lifetime excess cancers associated with the consumption of various beverages. And they found that those with the caramel coloring and that were not, because Pepsi may cause thousands of cancer cases, especially non-California, because California is like, hey, you've got to put the label on there. So Pepsi's like, we'll just distribute to California with less amounts. Pepsi products appear to be causing 20 times more cancer than Cokes. And this isn't just talking about cancer. Obviously, we know that soda in general talks about diabetes, fatty liver disease, hip fractures, rheumatoid arthritis, chronic kidney disease, gout, all of those things. But like, we know caramel coloring causes cancer. So if you're like, hey, I'm not having any dark sodas, right? Like maybe you're like, I just drink Sprite or Fanta or something. I guess I don't really know a lot about sodas. But caramel coloring is in a lot of different foods. And so when you look, we stay away from caramel coloring. So some of the other products that you might not realize that caramel colors contain, again, and it's the 4-MEI, which is known to be a possible carcinogen to humans, would be like soy sauce might be one of them. Look at, for example, like Honey Bunches of Oats. All of those, oftentimes they want it to be a little bit more brown. Barbecue sauce, specifically like Sweet Ray, Baby Ray's. The Cheesecake Factory brown bread typically adds caramel coloring in there. Coca-Cola would be one. I see it a lot. Guys, get real maple syrup, not the synthetic, you know, Aunt Jemima's or whatever. Those ones, more specifically, it's literally just high fructose corn syrup with caramel coloring and maple flavoring. And you're like, and they make it so cheap. Soups. Stews. So this is one that you are going to become a broths, oftentimes, condiments, cookies. You've got to turn it around and start reading labels. Because when you know for certain that something actively can cause cancer and you think it's not a big deal, it probably won't be me, but then it's over and over and over again, you keep consuming it in low amounts. This is one where you're like, 1 in 2 and 1 in 3 female will be diagnosed with cancer in their lifetime. So what are you doing to be able to look outside to figure out how to lessen some of those? Another food dye that I really want to, blue number one. And you're like, where would you ever find these? And sometimes it's one that we consume, or sometimes it's one like we see it a lot with candies, desserts, kids' cereal, unfortunately. You see those like bright colors, but then a lot of dental hygiene products as well. Like, ugh. So the problem with blue number one is that unlike other food dyes, it's one that crosses the blood-brain barrier. So it's also known as brilliant blue, which sounds so beautiful, doesn't it? Brilliant blue. Blue number one is, besides red number 40, which we'll talk about, is probably the second most used food dye. It can cause nerve cells to malfunction and not only contribute to cancer, but chromosomal damage, allergic reactions, and behavioral changes. And so this is one where you're like, start reading labels. You know, and you know what the best is? When you shop in the produce section, there aren't any labels. They're just barcodes. And you're like, what's in this apple? And you're like, apple. Like, what's in this banana? Banana. And you're like, that's the way to go. You know, it's kind of cool too. Some of the more natural products that you see, for blue, for example, there's a kombucha that my kids love. They think it's blue soda. And the way that it's colored is with blue spirulina. And so spirulina is an algae. You would think that it tastes funny. It really, truly doesn't. It tastes wonderful. But that it's one where you're like, that's actually really good for your cells and has a little bit of omegas in there. And it gives it this like vibrant blue color. And you're like, but it's healthy for you. You know, so there's ways to make food not boring. But, you know, especially like when you look at red number or red 40. I always think I was walking in the grocery store yesterday and I was in the produce section and they had the strawberry shortcake and they've got that like strawberry glaze. And I was like, I bet you that's just high fructose red dye. Like, you know, it's a combination of corn syrup, red, high fructose corn syrup, red 40, maybe a few berries in there. But again, red 40 contains benzidine, which is a known carcinogen. So even so, you'll see a lot of even like standard, like if you were to look at like Tylenol or whatever, like a lot of those even now will be dye-free because they know that these children's liquid medication are infused with DNA damaging substances. So it's just one, if you are ever looking, like we are a dye-free family and you really can find it a little bit more now getting out. For example, we were at like a kid's play park and they're like, Mom, can we do a icy? And I would typically say no, you know, and they all their friends had it and we really do pretty good. Like we're probably 90% super clean and the whatever 8% not clean we are is still pretty healthy, right? And the 2% is just, you know, eating cake at birthday parties or whatever. But that's one where they had like a wild cherry dye-free one, you know, and I was like, fine. And they're like, well, it's not ready. Do you want to do? And I said, no, we'll just wait. We'll wait until it's ready. And if it means we leave before it's done, then so be it. So, but that's just one. Caramel coloring, blue, red dye. Start reading your labels because that's where it's hidden in the additional ingredient. Be mindful of what you're putting in your body. Now, when we return, be on the lookout for some generally regarded as safe toxic chemicals in your meats next.
You're listening to Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne. We're online with life-changing results and success stories at GreenwoodFamilyChiropractic.com. You're listening to Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne. Videos, tips, deals, and more. Find Greenwood Family Chiropractic on Instagram. Here's Dr. Leanne.
Welcome back. You're listening to Maximize Your Life. I'm Dr. Leanne Schluter, Greenwood Family Chiropractic, 317-893-2853, 317-893-2853, 317-893-2853, GreenwoodFamilyChiropractic.com to schedule your initial exam and consultation. Today we are talking about food that is, quote, generally regarded as safe, which is now under scrutiny because we have RFK Jr., who, if you did not know, RFK Jr. is currently the U.S. Health and Human Services Secretary. And so he has recently begun the process of eliminating a U.S. Food and Drug Administration program called GRAS, generally regarded as safe. Unfortunately, nearly 99% of new chemicals used in food or food packaging since 2000 were greenlit for use, not by the FDA, but by the food and chemical industry. It was originally designed back in the day for food that should be generally regarded as safe, like garlic, oil, vinegar, baking soda, Yet in 1997, the government allowed it to become a voluntary program. So we have put profit over people. Like, let's play the game of, oh, this is generally regarded as safe. And here's kind of the interesting aspect too, is who decides that it's generally regarded as safe? And you're like, oh, the people themselves, right? Like, as a company, you create this chemical and the FDA says, hey, tell me about it. And they're like, it's generally regarded as safe. Like, the studies say it's pretty safe. You're like, any follow-up? No. Mm-mm. Loophole. No big deal. And so we can't figure out in our country why we're so sick, why we've got so many hormonal imbalances. So, you know, today, just breaking down some of these foods that would be considered generally regarded as safe that we actively in our household stay away from. So we talked about some of them. Ones I'm going to talk about and dive down a little bit deeper into are BHA and BHT. So BHA and BHT. So that's butylated hydroxytoluene and butylated hydroxyinositol. They are petroleum derived antioxidants. So we stay away from food dye because it's also petroleum derived. Petroleum derived chemical antioxidants used to preserve fats and oils. What you need to know about them is that of the two, BHA is considered more dangerous. Studies have shown it to cause cancer in the four stomachs of rats, mice, and hamster. And the Department of Health and Human Services classifies a preservative as, quote, reasonably anticipated to be a human carcinogen. And when you're looking, you think like antioxidants. And we've always used, like I just did a show not too long ago about antioxidants. And you're like, so good for oxidative stress. This is not the same. This is one that specifically looks at more of a preservative. It's designed to preserve so that it doesn't oxidize, which is where they consider it an antioxidant. It's not necessarily the same as if you had like a berry smoothie, right? Or high doses of vitamin C or, so basically when fats and oils are exposed to air, oxidation occurs, the same process that causes like old cars to rust. So what they did is they add this kind of chemical, but unfortunately, the chemical bonds responsible for the kinks that equate to weakness in the fat. Over time, oxygen in the air attacks those bonds, which transforms the fat into a variety of chemicals, which makes them kind of foul smelling. They can be toxic. So once you enter this synthetic preservative, BHT or BHA, the preservative attaches to the oxygen molecule. Again, problem with that is that these are both known carcinogens. A study actually conducted in Argentina in 2006 showed that BHT, carcinogenic effect, BHT has been shown to be harmful on the kidneys, liver, lungs, and blood coagulation. And they actually found that it does not retard cancer, but it actually causes it to worsen. Considered like it worsens cancer. It doesn't stop it, causes it to worsen. So that, and you're like, where would I ever find that? And you know, you go back to some of the foods. I always find it specifically, you know, I guess you don't know, but I'll tell you. We like to go camping, and so breakfast meats are kind of a standard. And so if I don't plan appropriately, unfortunately, a lot of the standard breakfast sausages or like brown and serves, tons of it, BHA, BHT, it's just designed to extend shelf life. Totino's pizza rolls, Honey Bunches of Oats, Hungry Jack, the instant mashed potatoes, Cinnamon Toast Crunch, Tombstone Pizza, Townhouse Flatbreads, your Trident Gum, Chex Mix, and it's oftentimes in a lot of lotions as well. So although you might not be necessarily orally consuming them, what you put on your body goes in your body. And so that's one where looking for BHT and BHA is an important aspect. So many cereals. Gosh, frosted mini wheats. Yeah, Chex Mix, pot pies. But I, like I said, I find it mostly when I'm like, oh, we'll get some eggs and sausage for breakfast. And it was like, BHT. I'm like, no. Oh, so sad. So another one that we have not talked about very recently is monosodium glutamate, which I think is so interesting because I've seen a lot of these social media things that people are actively adding MSG. So MSG, monosodium glutamate, is the salt of the amino acid glutamic acid, and it's used to enhance the savory quality of foods. So basically, it doesn't have a lot of flavor by itself, but what they do is they use it to kind of enhance the flavor or cause like more savory or like umami, if you will. Here's what you need to know about it is that studies have been shown that MSG injected into mice causes brain cell damage. And so this is where the FDA receives dozens of reaction complaints each year for nausea, headaches, chest pain, weakness. Again, companies use it because it increases, it blocks the kind of like I'm full hormone from communicating with your brain and tells your body to pump out insulin, which is the fat storage hormone. So those are ones where you're like, gosh, I'm just so good. I can't stop eating it. It's probably because it's MSG. That's one where not as much now, but Chinese restaurants have kind of gotten this rap for like headaches after Chinese food. It's because of the high amounts of MSG. It's one of the things that crosses the blood-brain barrier and stimulates those neurons to death, i.e. hence the headache. And so MSG, again, is one that you're like, generally regarded as safe. Another one, too, that I think is interesting, and I've been talking about it a bit in the office because I quit talking about it for a while, mostly because I thought everyone was on the same page with me until I realized they weren't talking about aspartame. And so I was at aspartame and sucralose, honestly. I was, interestingly enough, at a meeting and I had this little yogurt container, and it's the only yogurt container that I found that sweetens it with stevia. And he says, oh my gosh, I just found those for sale. My wife loves them. And I said, I love them because they're only sweetened with stevia, which is plant-based. And he goes, okay. And I said, yeah, most of them have sucralose. And so he was like looking at the ones and he goes, yeah, it does. He's like, what's wrong with sucralose? And I said, again, this is one where they found that a study from researchers of North Carolina State University suggested that a chemical formed from sucralose causes damage to the DNA. Problem when you damage DNA inevitably is that when you damage DNA, it causes cellular abnormalities, precancerous cells, cancer cells, as well as, you know, Splenda is kind of the brand name of sucralose, which is in, you know, baked goods, beverages, chewing gums, gelatins, frozen desserts, anything that's like keto or, you know, low, no sugar, no sugar added. They use that. They also found that it leads to leaky gut lining and increases the activity of genes related to inflammation and cancer. This was published May 29th, 2024 in Journal of Toxicology and Environmental Health. So those are ones where if you're not staying away from those, last but certainly not least, sodium nitrites and nitrates. It's another meat-related one. They say it's designed inevitably to help prevent bacteria growth and maintain its pinkish color of meats and fish. So they use it a lot in hot dogs, sausages, bacon, lunch meats, canned or cured meats. You see it a lot. It's almost virtually impossible to find nitrite-free hard salami, for example. Sodium nitrates and nitrates react with amino acids to form cancer-causing chemicals known as nitrosamines. So they also hinder the addition of ascorbic acid, so vitamin C. So it's just one of those ones where you can get nitrite-free sodium nitrite and sodium nitrite-free. So when you're looking for breakfast, or especially like my kids, if they want, they love turkey, cheese wraps. It's what they just wrap it up in a little circle, and that is their lunch choice. You know, that's one that we ensure that there's no sodium nitrites and nitrates. Now, granted, everyone might say, yeah, they're safe. And you say, well, they're generally regarded as safe. But that is a loophole that has not been overseen and is a voluntary opt-in, opt-out program for now over 20 years. So hopefully we can get some changes in that, albeit it's likely slow, but a step in the right direction when we look at our health and the health of our family. So hopefully you got some good information. There's plenty more to come at the office. Typically, if you ever go to our website, which is creatinghealthyindy.com, that'll link you to our next event that we have in the office. That's creatinghealthyindy.com. Or you can always stop in the office to ensure that you get more information about how to get to the root cause and become well. So 317-893-2853, 317-893-2853, greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com to schedule your initial exam and consultation. I always appreciate you tuning in. Look forward to next week, but always remember that your power is on.